Blog Talk Radio.
Friday night's edition of Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Thank you for joining us for what should be another great show. A reminder, we do not own the rights to the music you just heard. Also, please click, tag, and share. Tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air. And tonight, we're talking about the state of the city going into the May 6th election. I have lived in Fort Worth for over 20 years, and I have never known the city to appear to be unraveling at the seams like it is today. It feels divided, unsafe, and teetering on something bad. Yet no one with their hands on the wheel seems to know how to fix it. Our crime council is tone deaf to the point of they're like a child walking into rush hour traffic. It's only a matter of time before something bad happens. So tonight, we're talking about some of the things that are on most people's minds. The overspending, the crime in the city being out of control, the fight over the renaming of the Hillside Community Center. The tax rate is too high. The fact that the Fort Worth PD is out of control. The redistricting and what a mess it's made. And the unfair way that the CCPD funding is being given out. When will downtown hear us? When will downtown realize that the city is in trouble and do something about it? That's what we're talking about tonight, and whether or not the May 6th election will change anything. Yep, That's what we're talking about tonight. So if you have a question or a comment tonight, call in at 515-605-9321, then press 1-1 connected. That's 515-605-9321, then press 1 once connected. I see Adrian and I see Christopher this evening. Good evening, y'all. How you doing?
Good evening, Carrie. Good evening, Christopher.
Hey, Carrie. How you doing? Hey, man.
I'm good. Well, we'll start off with something that's not, I did not mention, but again, congratulations to Adrian. We see that you are officially in the race, and you have, race for mayor, that is, and you have your name on the a placement for the ballot. Can you tell us a little bit about that tonight?
Okay, so, yes, I'm Adrian Devon Smith, and I am one of the five candidates seeking to become mayor. Four of us new, including the mayor, so seeking to become the next mayor of Fort Worth, Texas. We did a ballot placement drawing on this past Thursday morning. It was an all right experience. It was different, you know. Got to see how the process works, and I placed number four on the ballot, and several of the incumbents, like you stated, we discussed it. Somehow a couple of the incumbents managed to place one on the ballot. Now, does ballot placement have a more or less weigh in on the how a race turns out? I mean, you know, as far as name placement, I would just say this. We need people to come out. Considering that we know the numbers have been low, and I looked at the race in 2021, Carrie, and I saw those numbers that was, you know, split amongst all of those candidates running for mayor. And we know the two top vote-getters were Maddie Park and Deborah Peoples. So that gave me a little optimism, you know, gave me a little inkling that, yeah, it could be – It can be done. So I'm just seeking to become the next, hoping to become the next mayor of Fort Worth. I don't know what more I can say about it, but thank everybody for their support thus far. I know it's going to be a going to have to put some work into it, put it like that. But I mean it. So
I think what I know about the ballot, and I think if anybody else is honest with themselves, I have gone into the booth sometime, not familiar with neither of the candidates on the ballot, just say for a particular race. And I look, and let's just say Railroad Commission, and I'll see two names I'm not familiar with either of them. And so a lot of times, the truth be told, I will just pick the first one, which is, you know, it is, I'm just being honest. And so I think placement does factor in when situations like that occur, where people are not familiar with any of the players, and they're just thinking, okay, I they tell me to pick one, so here we go. And so I think that can happen. So I think it's a reason why people would be one on the ballot.
I would go ahead and just ask why, instead of having a ballot draw and having to have that whole debate, why don't they just have a random factor in the ballot printing, you know what I'm saying, to where it would be a blind kind of thing, to where on this ballot goes in sequence and they get shuffled, so you would have one for one voter, you would be number one, and for another voter, you would be number five, you know?
You'd have to trust the process, right?
Well, I just say that this way, with the ballot draw having a standard 1, 2, 3, 4 placement, it gives. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say that you could go deeper into the thought process of what that can possibly do. Is they could sit there and say, I mean, especially if we've got some election fraud, somebody paid to go in, then they would just say pick the first person. You know, I'm just being theoretical. but I'm,
I'll
get off of that.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what somebody told me. And I don't know if it's true, but this is what they told me. I don't learn to listen. If I haven't checked it out for myself, I don't know. It's always a possibility. Could not be true. But they ran in the last Tarrant County election, and they said that it was just them and another person, okay, running in the race.
Yeah.
And they said that there were different sizes in the bag. So let's just say one size was small and the other piece of paper was large. So if you had been
Carrie.
I'm just trying to tell
hold
you.
Hold on, Carrie. Carrie. Wow.
What?
You know what?
I'm just trying
that's one of the whole controversies that happened in Arizona, because there's a standard format, and what they were finding out was that some ballot places were printing a duplicate, using a duplicate ballot that was printed in a different page to field to page or whatever, some kind of computer, and it wasn't what was originally printed, but they printed off. It was part of the controversy in Arizona last year.
So I'll give y'all a brief. Y'all on the outside looking in, so I'll just take y'all on the inside. So this is how it was set up. Miss, her name is Goodall.
Yeah, Jeanette Goodall.
So she was the person doing it. You know, basically directing the thing. So she have an envelope. She explained. We call based on when the person, submitted their ballot. So if you were the first person that submitted your name for candidacy, your name is going to be the first. Your name is going to be the first to draw. She opened up an envelope. She said we only had five people for mayor, right? So we got one through five on cut up pieces of. And I didn't think what the measurements and all that care. That's good though. I like that. But she had five open each envelope. She opened up each envelope. They're still. She opened one through five. Put him inside a little vase, shake it up, and then she say the candidate's name. Now, the first candidate, she wasn't there. I think it was, I think she called, what's her name? She didn't call Richter because he's not in it.
Allison Kennedy.
She called her name, right? So nobody, she said, if that person is not there, nobody's there to represent for them, she would do the polling. So Allison Kennedy, nobody was there. She said, okay. She stuck a hand in her. She said, she drew number such and such. Then she going down the list. I think Ken was next. Ken such and such. He came down, stuck his hand. He handed it to her, opened it up. He drew number such. So he goes sign up. That's his place. That's his number. You know, that's how you're gonna be placed on the ballot. Miss Castillo came down. Same thing. When he called for Parker, that's where Crane stepped in. Crane was there. So Crane pulled for Parker. When he pulled Parker, boom, boom, number one. So guess where they left me? All other numbers were left. So Adrian Smith came up. Boom, boom, boom. I was left at number four. So.
In my opinion, you should not. If you didn't show up, then you should get what's left over.
He said, "You know what? If the person didn't show up, she was gonna draw or a representative. So that's why I said, okay, well, Bob. So I did Bob's. You know, I did it for Bob. How will it be? Nobody. I said I'll go for Bob. She didn't. They didn't object to it. So I got Bob. I pulled Bob, and Bob popped at number two. And I pulled the last one was Jesse. She called for Jesse. Anybody for Jesse? This is when she explained everything with Jesse and Mr. Twin. She explained their situation. So I went ahead and pulled for Jesse, and Jesse pulled at number – he pulled at number three. When it's all said and done, it wasn't nothing left, so Twin automatically fell to seven. But I got what you're saying, Carrie.
I'm just saying, y'all, there's always a way to cheat. And I'm not saying anybody did. But I'm just saying, after hearing about the Tarrant County race, it just kind of made me think that, okay, if you are not there, then that means it really wasn't that important to you. So then the people that did show up, they should determine who's going to go first, who's going to go second, and then it goes like that. Like if she said whoever entered the race first or whatever. But I just don't think that somebody should pull for you. I don't. I think if you didn't show up, then you were left over.
And I think this would be a good observation, Carrie. If you don't show up, we'll start with who's here, and like you said, like exactly what you're saying. So Allison didn't show up. Call our names. Allison ain't there. The mayor ain't there. So it leaves us three people that's there. Okay, we let Ken go first. We let Mr. Castillo go second. And then we let Adrian go third. And then who was ever at the bottom is at the bottom. So, but I got you, Ken. That's a good observation. That's a good observation.
FYI, that's just my opinion.
No, I think just go by date of birth.
Oh, yeah. Your last 4 years, social, all kinds of stuff. Anything to make it fair. But I'm just saying I've known of some things that, you know, I'm just going to leave it alone. Y'all, we're going to talk about redistricting tonight. And, you know, I'm really seeing what kind of mess it made. It really did. The council really got a chance to cherry pick their districts. And I get a chance to see that because the district, the new district that I'm in, is 11. That said, the way they did this thing, you have Crane, Flores, and Nettles unopposed. Because why? They took out all their opponents out of their districts, or so it looks. I'm not going to say, I'm not going to accuse anybody of anything, but it just kind of looks that way. And so if you take all your competition away, you're probably running unopposed. And then the second thing I noticed, or the third thing that I noticed, is that, you know, when you look at the new districts, D10 and D11, it's basically sliced up like a pizza. And then it's just kind of thrown back together, you know, in some awkward way. And I say that because the new 11 includes part of District 4, District 5, District 8, District 9, and I don't even know if there's others. But I know it's at least that many, okay, to create the new 11. And so now I'm over here, and I'm looking at y'all really went and just sliced off of all of these districts, which I'll consider highly populated Hispanic areas. Well, if you just wanted to create a whole Hispanic district, then you should have just created a whole Hispanic district. But for those people who are not Hispanic, who are white or who are black, where does that leave us? And I'm just being honest, because I'm talking about, I ain't talking about nobody else's story. I'm talking about my own. And I'm looking at how this is feeling, and it's starting to feel very uncomfortable because when I saw how many districts were sliced off of for them to put this together, there's nothing legal about this. You know, if you literally go, be different if you say, I'm just going to take a little of this district and a little of this district. But if you specifically go and target areas where you know they're highly populated by Hispanic people and create a district, and then you say, I want this district to have Hispanic representation or Latino. I'm sorry, y'all may be, I don't know, Christopher, help me with the terminology, because it's just like black, turn from color to African-American to whatever we are today. So it seems like it's happening with Latino. One day is Hispanic, Mexican, you know, Latinx, you know what I'm talking about. Whatever the term today is that everybody's using, it does not feel like 10 and 11 feel right. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't. And so I don't know how fair what we're seeing is to people who are not Mexican-Americans or Latino-Americans or whatever the politically correct term is. I don't know that this is right, and it doesn't feel right. And so I don't know if anybody else is feeling what I'm feeling, but I don't think there should be strongholds or intentionally created strong voting strongholds in the city. If it is, it is. If whatever the community is, then they vote. Does that make sense?
I do get what you're saying, and that's the time old thing, and it's this gerrymandering thing, it goes on everywhere, and especially in local politics and state politics, that's what it is. It's called gerrymandering, and it always follows most two things, class lines and race lines.
Let me jump. Remember when Tom DeLay did this years ago? and he got away with it initially, and then they came back and said it was illegal. Remember when he did that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I don't remember exactly what the I there's there. Well, what the thing is, it's kind of just exactly like what they do with jury. They have it worded. It's the way that the law is worded. It's the same thing with jury selection, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They do it with jury selection, and they ask you questions. So theoretically, when they do gerrymandering, they're not allowed to look at they're not allowed to look at statistics on race. So when they look at the census, they can't – they're not – it's just like a jury selection. But what they do is you can make inferences from the other aspects or from just common knowledge that where you can still do it. But theoretically, I think the law says that you can fill it – I don't know how to say it. That it's just the way that you word it up when you do your districting.
Mm-hmm.
They select criteria for this, that, whatever. I don't know what mm-hmm. it is, but it's a lie. And so I think that there's been places in the country, some cities where, and what they have is rotations. They have rotating places. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So this election, you'll have like three different districting scenarios. So when you have, an offset. See, this one we're running for the whole city council, mayor and everything. So, but when you have two places, a rotating place, so you have two places that are up for election this year, kind of like, and then two places that are up for election this year. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
instead
mm-hmm.
of having elected everybody according to this new district map, what they should have done was leave some districts in place, and when they do redistricting, they shouldn't be allowed to redistrict more than two places.
But see, this is where I'm at, and we're going to move on because we got a lot of ground to cover tonight.
Yeah.
If you just want to say we're going to draw the line right here, and everything over here goes over there, and everything mm-hmm. that's still over there stays over there, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But if you're going
right.
to say, I'm going to go pull out all the Hispanic populate the high, the areas over here that's got highly populated Hispanics, and then over here we're going to, and then we're going to put it together? No, that doesn't even feel right. I mean, it's just starting to feel like this is a hot mess, and I hope someone is bold enough to take its course.
Let me ask you a quick question, Karen, because we're moving on. Who do you do? Do either of you know whose map this was? Because, they allowed the public to submit their maps, and then we know the council gave their suggestions. Does anybody know who map this was? Because someone came up with this map.
They got that from the Republican Party headquarters of the state. I'm just going to let you know.
Now let me say what I was told.
I'm Republican.
And this is
I'm not Republican, but I'm conservative.
Well, let me say this. I heard this just by happenstance. I happened to be included on a phone call the other night with someone I didn't know, and they're very politically savvy. They really are. They are in District 9, and his name was Mr. Fernando. Mr. Fernando's last name is escaping me right now. But Mr. Fernando has been involved in politics for a really long time. Huh? You what?
Don't reveal your source.
Okay, well, no.
Don't reveal your source.
No. But what, right. But what I was told in this call, which was really interesting, they said they've been working on the map for over a year. And they said Elizabeth Betch had them working on the map. And so I got mad then. I'm going to tell you why I got mad. I got mad because Chris Nettles didn't have us with a map. And I'm going to call y'all, councilman. You didn't give us no map over here, Nate. And tell us, let's work on this map and get what you want. Nobody told us that. And so this person said they had taken several drafts back and forth to effect, and she would reject this and reject that and reject this until they finally said, okay, we're not going to be able to get any more than this. Because I just happened to bring up 11 because part of a 9 is in 11 now. And so this person and I are now in the same district. And I was like, I hate this map. And they was like, well, we've been working on this map for, what?
What? Mm-hmm. How could that be? And so you got to remember, Crane took a map to Como and said, hey, y'all work on that. So obviously Dex took one to her.
Yeah, he denied it. And I keep, he know Crane, oh, that's my grape I got with him to this day. You lie. You convinced those people over here that was the best idea to put Como over in District 6. And when you look at this map, it looks so – Terry, you know what I have to ask the fire department over here? Let me ask y'all a question. Can I ask y'all a question? Considering that this community is no longer – because the fire department is in Como. It's not in Ridgely. It's in Como. Mm-hmm. It sits in Como. Considering you all are no longer – this is no longer considered District 3 – how would the services work? They said the fire department said, well, because they're a fire department, police law, they still cover, you know, it really don't. I said, well, we have to get service from over District 6. So they said, no, when it comes to law enforcement and they just stay put. They cover the area. But what about the other city services? I mean, you know, see, that's the thing about it. If I need code compliance in this area, do I get code compliance out of District 6 to come over here? Because I am in District 6. Or do, I mean, what is the district? See, but again,
well,
I digress.
But truth be told, you're in District 3 until Election Day, remember?
Gotcha.
Yeah, until Election Day.
It's just a hot mess because I'm struggling to understand how you get all the way from down near Crowley Como in one district.
Because you cherry picked who you wanted in your district and who you didn't want in your district. That's why it's a hot mess.
Yeah.
Well, Carrie, real quick, you say until Election Day. Well, if that's the case, then me and Tanya chopped it up. Me and Tanya Carr was able to chop it up. Chopped it up. She was at the ballot. She say, you know, she's running in 6, so if it's till Election Day, then they won't be able to run. Then them running in the district they're running in would be void, right? Anybody running in a district other than what the district they already in until Election Day, that'll be voided, won't it?
Okay, let me tell you how this works. Think about it. 10 and 11 don't even exist right now because they don't have representation.
They don't. You're right. Carrie, yes.
I've been thinking about this thing, so we are where we are until Election Day.
So basically, we should have left things the way they are. Get people seated in 10 and 11. Waited 2 years down the line, and then let this map go into place. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Let me pop
a point real quick, and we ain't got to discuss it, but I'm with you on that one specific number eight, I'm just wondering, it's highly suspect that we had all this controversy about where somebody's living and where they're not, and then all of a sudden we get redistricting, and then that particular person who's involved in the controversy doesn't have anybody contesting him. And he's legit.
Man, that'll open up a whole nother can of worms. Y'all know what we're talking about. We're just going to leave it alone. We're going to let you pass on that one, Councilman. But anyway, moving on. Y'all, let's talk about this new tax rate. Okay, you know, crazy me. It's kind of like, y'all, years ago, I had taken my 401k and put it in an annuity, right? And so they kept saying how the stock market was crashing, y'all. And I kept thinking, oh, we those poor people losing all of their money. And then one day the light bulb came on, and I said, girl, check and see what yours is doing. And that's when I realized that I had been in there for about a year or so, and I was right back to where I started. And so I told the person who was investing for me, listen, I'm going to need you to cut a check with just what I got in there now. He told me, of course, that, you know, being African-American, I need to be aggressive, da-da-da-da-da. But anyway, you know, black folks ain't trying to hear that when they then found out they've been in the job for 2 years and it ain't working. So anyway, long story short, I bailed. So I thought about the tax rate. Same thing happened. I watched the city council the other night or a couple of weeks ago when they talked about this tax rate, and I thought, oh, wow, well, darn, they went up on the tax rate. Didn't even think about how does that apply to you, Carrie. What does that mean for you? So the other day, it came up for me to call the tax office because something was not right with my escrow account. So I'm calling the tax office to get a better understanding of the fact that I contested my taxes last year. And they had me up somewhere like 192, 195, something like that. And they reduced it to 140, which I'm happy about. So I'm trying to understand why is my escrow account so high, lady? And this lady then tells me that you are paying $2,900 in taxes. So I said, $2,900 a year. So I said, how does on $140,000 you charge me almost $3,000? And she said, well, the rate for Fort Worth is 2.599. I said, okay. And she said, well, with the Fort Worth ISD tax alone, you're paying $1,280. Yeah. I said, ma'am, I don't have a child in Fort Worth ISD, and I've never had a child in Fort Worth ISD. I said, so I'm paying for failing schools, children who can't read at grade level, and dilapidated schools who are falling apart. And I'm paying $1,289 a year for that.
That's another interesting thing, too, that might have some impact. I don't know how it plays out, is the school districting with the district maps. I don't know how they figure that in, because you're in 11. That's in the north, isn't it?
No, remember I told you they sliced from everywhere. 11 came from District
right.
4, District
and
5.
And that's what
okay.
I'm saying. That's kind of
I'm on
but,
the east
but the point
side.
That I'm making. I'm not, it don't matter where you are. But I'm just wondering how the heck – because if you do this gerrymandering thing and you've got the Fort Worth, this place, that district, this whatever, well, how does the city be – I'm not really sure. What they're probably basing it on is the fact that the school district board of trustees is a completely different political entity from the – but you have up there in North Fort Worth, those there's school districts that aren't in the Fort Worth ISD. They're in Haslett in Fort Worth city limits.
I'm going to say this. Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I do. My thing is this. 2.599 is too high. First of all, I was a mortgage broker for a lot of years, and before that I was a loan officer and a loan processor. So I understand a whole lot about appraised values and tax rates and things like this. When I asked the lady to make it make sense, $2,900 on $140,000, she could not make the math add up. So my question is, do we all need to go back and do the math on our properties? I escalated this to a whole other level for somebody to look into this, and I won't even say who I asked to look into it. But I was agitated enough that I was not getting what I knew were not correct answers. Now, the person on the phone, I don't think she knew anything. You know, she was just telling me what she thought was true. But I could tell the answers that she gave me were not correct. And so my question is, why the hell did we mess with the tax rate to begin with? We should not have messed with that tax rate. We're doing too much. In City Hall Radio, we're doing too much. Well, let me finish one more thing.
Yeah.
But let me finish one more thing. Now, remember, something came to me today. Remember when Betsy Price left about office, they said we had a 2.7. I think when we did our show, it was 2.4, we said, but it later came out that it was even higher than that. I think it's $2.7 billion shortfall. Well, with all of this going on, where are we at now? Has anybody ever thought about another audit maybe needed? Because we really might be in trouble now.
And it's just another thing with this. It's another thing with the suspect when you got a tax rate increase prior to an increase in the $200 million new city hall. It's like they anticipated that fucking shortfall, and then they let you know after the fact.
That's all this deception. All of this deception, lack of transparency, no accountability is too much.
Yeah, Kerry, I think like you stated, the tax rate, and go back to Mr. Crane when he tried to do that little shuffle but Mr. Crane, if you're listening, sir, you didn't have no opposition this year, so you're safe, sir. But he did that little stunt on the council floor, like, I want to go try to see if we can do a 6 to 8%. And I'm like, dude, you could have did that behind – it would have been believable, sir, if you would have did that behind closed doors. But you came out in front of the public to make it like you was the long wolf who was for a lower tax rate, knowing that this thing was – like you said, it's a money grab. Higher tax
yep.
rate, and then the mayor, you see how she just did the political thing. Well, it's just going to be, it's not going to cost taxpayers. It's just going to cost you like $100 more on you. She said that's so just plain Jane. It's just going to cost you $100 more on your. It's nothing. Oh, but if we cut, we take money from law enforcement. We take money from the fire department. That's the sticking point to get people to say, oh, no, we can't take money from our law enforcement. We can't take money from our fire department. They use that. They use those talking points, those political talking points, because they know they're catchy. And people, when you say throw certain phrases out there, certain people catch on and say, okay, they're right. We need to go ahead and just trust them. And but the rest of us, like, it's just a money grab. It's just, like Chris said, to cover up for your mismanagement, Mr. Cook, and your bad numbers, Mr. Cook, because it starts with you and the people that's under you. So
something's not right. Listen, y'all, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Footwork. Tonight we're talking about the state of the city going into the May 6th election. There's so much going on and so much on the table. Do we have reason to be concerned? And will May 6th bring a change? Well, one thing we know for sure, it won't unless you get to the polls. This ain't an election year for our president, but at the same time, it's an important election for our city. That's what we're talking about tonight. And, y'all, we're going to segue right over into overspending. Chris mentioned the $50 million needed to complete the city hall. In my opinion, I've said this on a prior show, we ought to just scrap the city hall. That's just my opinion. Stay where you at, sell that building, and build
and
a new one. Well, what y'all are talking about doing? Say what?
Or don't even build a new one. Just work with what you got, man. We got too many human factors going. We got too many human factors going on.
Uh-huh. Chris, I could piggyback with you. We don't need a new city hall when we don't have people showing up to the city hall. We already have presentation. We don't need a new. They want this modernization. They touting it on. Fort Worth is growing. We're the 13th largest. Woo woo woo. Yeah, we're growing at a rate that nobody's. We need to put. Listen, the train has left the station and it has no. It has no brakes. It's going. It's about to derail. They think all this fast growth is something to tout our hat on, you know. But it's really not, because like you say, it's overspending, and until people are paying attention, You know, I mentioned that woman, Carrie, at the last council meeting. People are paying attention. She put it in her face. She gave them facts. So
overspending is a – I'm sorry if I'm interrupted. It's a complete unsustainable – it's a complete unsustainable system, and I'm going to come to you from – I'm 48 years old this summer, coming up summer, and I'm just going to say that I came up in a decent school system out in eighth. I grew up for when I was in the second grade, I went to a school system that we have air conditioning. We didn't have air conditioning in our classrooms. We had ceiling fans and box fans, and that's what we got through during the hot months. We had heaters, but anyway, so on fourth, and we had a higher performing, and we had teachers that were paid 4 or 5 times less than they are today. This was 40 years ago, maybe more than that in some circumstances. But trying to understand why in the last 15 years the priority has become to build these starship campuses, the architectural contra-da-da-da-da-da, when it's not practical to the educational rudiments. I'm just saying. I think that there should be some comforts involved, but this thing of having high school campuses that look like Tarrant County Junior College or TCU is it's got to stop, man. It's not practical.
But you got to realize they're even giving money. Remember, like a couple weeks ago, they were giving money to Fort Worth ISD. Well, why are we giving money? Why is the city giving money to Fort Worth ISD when their spending is out of control too, and it's a whole bunch of theft and corruption over there? So it's like something ain't adding up with why we're giving them money, and we're already being taxed and giving them money. It's just not adding up.
And it's another thing. It's another thing that we deal with the police department, like we talked about a few weeks ago. We're giving raises for underperformance. We're giving an incentive for continued freaking delinquency. And I'm not knocking on every single teacher, and I'm sick of this because we'll talk about it later, but it's like what we talked about, that somebody's dissenting, somebody exercising their expression of dissent about an issue on this, that, whatever, with a little bit of satire or a little bit of accent to it. Why is that so offensive? I mean, that's where we come from as a country. And saying is, we've got the lowest, here we are we're hearing this all over the country, and particularly here in Fort Worth, the reading levels and the we're having this constant debate about teaching more, let's hire more teachers. Every year we're talking about spending more money, paying more for teachers, this, that, whatever, and we aren't getting any equitable results. And that's what the equity for the taxpayers, it's time to freaking change the system. And I think we mentioned this on the back channel, that I believe that people should get engaged in going, because when I grew up, for a time during my schooling, I went to parochial schools. I mean, we've already had this debate with vouchers and stuff like that. We need to back off. People need to take advantage of the market for parents and for all of this controversy about public school systems and philosophies and everything. I mean, I think that's a perfect opening for people to start freaking competing on a private level I'm not saying shut down public school systems.
It's coming. It will be shut down.
Yeah, when you empty out them all and send them to charter schools and private schools, that's exactly what will happen.
But, yeah, we're talking about, when you say overspending, it's like the people who are spending our money at City Hall are not even, like, being good stewards of the money. It's like they – you know, when they, you know, opted to try to give themselves raises, who gives themselves a $50,000 and a $70,000 raise? Who takes $30,000 and just says, okay, we're going to buy all the sanitary pads and the tampons for the city buildings? That doesn't even make any sense. So we're just going to say $30,000, you know, because we think it's a good idea, and we're not going to even ask the people if they're okay with it. We're just going to do it. And then the fact that the police department gets 80% of the budget. And just like Christopher just said, we got officers who are not doing their job. We got the call centers. I mean, basically, you know, it's a crapshoot when you call police if anybody's going to show up. So sometimes they're slow to the call. Sometimes they don't come to the call at all. And then you got officers who are very well paid, but you got all these bad apples. And so... 80% of the budget
we're giving to them. I'm going to shut it down. And it's ain't about the name, but I watched a particular speech that happened this week in the immediate aftermath of that city council debate, where somebody was having a total fucking personal meltdown. The leader of the police department, Neil Noakes, he went off to a little private engagement with his in uniform. Anyway, I'm not going to get into the specifics of it, but it's wrong. But he came out, and I listened to his whole speech, and he's up there lamenting the fact that there's so much hatred for police, that more than a third of the people that was putting their redress up at the city council were just being hateful bastards. And I'm like, no, but listen. I point out this concept. I'm scratching my head. Not because I'm a veteran and I'm not advocating a self-interest or any kind of political interest, but I have a problem when you have a 21-year-old, say, let's say what the standard is, you know, I might get You have a 21-year-old with no freaking resume whatsoever. This is one aspect of it. You have a 21-year-old with no freaking work experience resume. So, okay, this way and that way he qualifies. Well, he goes and applies for the police academy, passes his interview, passes his psych eval, maybe on the third or fourth try. And then he goes to school for – he goes to this subsidized, this taxpayer-subsidized police academy for 6 months, and he graduates. And then the next thing you know, after 6 months, he's making $80,000 plus, and that's just base rate, between $70,000 and $80,000 a year. Let me tell you what, a lieutenant who was educated at West Point after 4 years of college and a lot of leadership training for 4 years, doing things, going out on summer camps and going out, they get a lot more. They make less than what a basic police officer with no freaking any kind of post-secondary education gets working for the police department. I agree that they should be compensated. It's too much.
But you know what? But we got to pay attention to the spending, though. When you are giving out these raises, are they earned raises? You see what I'm saying? Are we just giving people raises at the city, whether that be a police officer or a city employee? Because, you know, we know that
I think what we can call it is desperation, and another term that I would just throw out there is fiscal decadence. It's because of incompetent leadership.
But see, we got David Cook being the highest paid employee in the state. That's too high. I'm sorry, that's too high. And so with all the perks and everything, he comes out to be the highest paid employee in the state. And so I think this city council, and I think he just got a raise just a couple weeks ago. And so I think this city council, you know, in my opinion, the mayor, the city manager, you know, the city council, they are not being good stewards of the money. And for that reason, we got to change leadership come May 6th, because if we don't pay attention to, I think a large amount of money just got sent to the Botanical Garden. I mean, we're just spending money like it's going to grow back on a tree or something. This is taxpayer money, you know, and so I think that alone says a lot about what's going on in City Hall right now, that the fact that they don't care that somebody's got to pay these bills. You know, it's like, okay, it's like, you know, it's kind of like a kid when you give them a piggy bank. You know, you say you put this in there, you hold on to it, and in 18 years you'll have X amount of dollars. Well, more than likely, if the kid is the one holding the piggy bank, that's not going to happen. And that's the way it looks like downtown right now. A bunch of kids are holding the piggy bank, and they're just spending the money.
And I have a quick observation. I was thinking about all the properties that the city is currently trying to sell. I truly think when it came to the Fort Worth Central Library, I think they deliberately found something wrong with the Fort Worth Central Library, and they put it on the chopping block. I don't think it was too much going. This is a library. Since y'all, so you sell a library, but you steady building libraries. Come on. Let make it make sense. You sell the central library. That is the city's library. You could have sold any other library, any other property. You sold the central library. Why? Because the value of it, it was in the heart of downtown. So the dollar amount for it was going to add, the asking amount for it was going to be a whole lot because of where it sits. So you all found something wrong with it, or said it was over budgeted. It was whatever they found wrong with it. They sold that library, right? That was money going back into the pot to make up for these shortfalls. I truly think, Carrie, we are in the red. I do truly think we are in the red. Another observation. They have been taking, this is the second occasion they have done this. They have taken federally directed money. The what was that money?
The CARES Act
pandemic money. This is the second time they've done it. They have taken that money and redirected it into stuff that has nothing to do with why it was given in the first place. And you had a pastor. You had a pastor come down there Tuesday and say, "Where the heck is the money?" And you know the script, Terry. Here go the script. Such and such, get with them. I want you to get with them. Every time somebody comes down there and kind of stinks up the place, they always go to the script. Michael, could you get with them and make sure we're gonna get in contact with you? It never fails.
Let me jump in there right there. Whenever Gina Bivens tells Fernando Costa, our city manager, whenever she says, when she's mayor pro tem, and she looks over at Fernando, she says, "Fernando, can you get with them? That's code for ain't shit don't get done." FYI, I said it, and I ain't taking it back. Yep, that's code for ain't shit gon' get done. When she calls Fernando's tall, lanky ass over there and says, "Hey, go take it," that means ain't shit gon' get done. Yep, I said it. So anyway,
I want to throw something out there, but I want to give the pre-warning that if your phone lines start experiencing some static after I say this, then you know what it is. And if I wind up getting Epstein, you know, if I wind up getting Epstein or on some hit list after this, you know what? Back me up. I'll be in heaven because I got grace.
Don't say that because words have power. And we know we're still worried about what happened to Thomas. So don't even put that in the atmosphere.
Right.
But
I'm going to say what I got to say. Take all that away because it needs to be said and people need to be informed. And I'm not saying it as that I'm not divine truth or anything, but I'm scratching my head as a native of Fort Worth, and we've been talking, we've been drumming up a lot of stuff about the Fort Worth POA, but we need to talk about the Coffee Cup Cafe in Fort Worth. You know, they got a Coffee Cup Cafe in Hyco, Texas, but there's also a Coffee Cup Cafe in Fort Worth. We have our own version, and I'm kind of like feeling like it's over there on 7th Street where the Fort Worth Club is.
And
that's it.
Wow. I'm lost for words on that one, y'all, because I...
That's the de facto city council.
Wow. And, y'all, there's so much going on in the city. I ain't gonna even, like, it's just like way above what most people are comprehending. And I'll be honest with y'all, two years ago, before the city election 2 years ago, I wasn't paying attention like most people aren't. I really was willy-nilly and just assumed people downtown were doing their jobs. But I'm here to tell you, ain't nothing further from the truth. If you are not down there asking and holding these people feet to the fire and asking them to be accountable for what they are doing, this city's on its way to hell. I mean, because how do you say, they don't care. They and when you try to bring it to their attention, they treat you like you're a problem child. I mean, I don't know if anybody caught any of the flag Bob Willoughby's got, but Bob Willoughby, how many places they been trespassed Bob from now?
He got trespassed from the Henley. Bob has been trespassed from. He got trespassed from the Henley. Rec Center, I believe, where Gina Bivens was holding something she was holding. Hold on, Carrie, and listen here. No elected official should have the authority or the right or the privilege or power to use whatever their position to terrorize citizens. And that's what that is. That is you're using these people as a weapon to your disposal. But what if the tables were turned? Then that person to be looked at as, you know, they're wrong. You should have did that. You know what I'm saying? He got trespassed on the Hanley Rec Center. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He's just his presence. He's a gnat to Miss Bivens. He's a gnat. Okay, he's a gnat. She doesn't like him. He's been the loudest one in that dish. He also got trespassed by Michael Crane. Michael Crane's apparently his real estate company or whatever is located, I think, off of Hemp Hill. And Bob can tell you better. He said he went into the office and asked a simple question. Is this the office of business of such? So they said, yes. He said, okay, that's all I want to know. Is there anything else I can help you with? And Bob said he said some things. Bob can better tell you than I can. He said he got to council meeting, Carrie. He got to council meeting. Not Fort Worth PD, but he showed up at council meeting, and that was brought to him, this thing talking about he's trespassed from Michael Crane's place of business or whatever it is.
Wow.
So you can't – how can they do that, use their position to – your life is not in danger. And no, if you have hosting a town hall or whatever for your district, if you feel your life is that much under pressure, then maybe you need to do it on Zoom, because at the end of the day, one person, you mean to tell me one person, what is Bob doing that's so bad other than using his voice and his presence to draw attention to you?
Let me say this. I think what I see happening, and I've always been taught this from a child, that if you got a problem, you know, with a bunch of people, you take out the biggest one first, so the rest will fear. And it seems like Bob is the biggest annoyance to them downtown. So if we make him out to be the crazy man, you know, the man who's, you know, always in trouble, you know, the person that we can say, you know, he's the problem, then all of a sudden it deflects attention from what he's saying about what's going on downtown. So I think that's what's happening. I don't know
if anybody else is saying that. We know Bob gives it out evenly, doesn't he? Unless you show – Bob is about respect, unless you show him otherwise. And Bob dishes it out evenly across that whole council. Nobody has gotten a – he's given some olive branch. But at the end of the day, he's standing on something. And I'm going to say this, Carrie. Let's do the racial dynamic. I'm going to say this. And I don't want to. Sometimes we as people, you know, we as people, we are hard on each on our own people, right? Now look at the dynamic of Bob. I'm gonna say this. Somebody, you disagree if you want to disagree. Just what I'm thinking. If Bob was a black man doing this to a black woman, if he was black doing this, it might be back more backlash on him. Or if their seat would have been flipped by now, but now that Bob is who he is, that's how Beck was able to throw that term out at him when she threw it out at him. You know what I'm saying? She wouldn't have said that under any other circumstance. Had that been a black man, she would have never used that term, racial. But the fact that Bob is who he is, she stirred up that dynamic. See that drew. Bob is a race. Why? Because he's not attacking Dana. He's not doing nothing. He hasn't said nothing personal to. Everything Bob is doing is being about her policy, about her as a candidate, about her decision. That's all it's been about. He's been all about them as an elected official. That's all he's been. He's never been personal.
Thank you. And you know the thing is, and I didn't mean to. I know Chris has something he was going to say, but I think where we're at. And what this whole thing is, you can't have a council that they're all so sensitive that everything you say to them is a problem. You know, don't challenge me. Do what I say, you know, not as I do. You know, we're not kids. You know, this is a whole city where, you know, without our permission, you know, because we don't get a chance to have a vote on it, you take tax dollars from us and you do whatever you want with it. And then if we have a problem with anything you're doing downtown, we're the problem. And I think that should never be the case. I think
basically a city council person, a mayor, should be a public servant, and they should always have an open door policy. And no matter how tired they get of you coming down there, that door should always be open. And I think what I've noticed with this city council is there is no open door policy. You call down to city hall, and you're lucky if you get anybody in any department to even answer a phone. And I think the city secretary's office is, I'm just saying, the city secretary's office, tax officer Jeanette Goodall, they do answer the phone every time you call down there, except for between 12 and 1 when they go to lunch. But the other department, good luck, especially the police department or any other code enforcement, any of those departments, you cannot get anybody on the phone. And, you know, if you write your city council people, good luck and getting somebody to respond back. It's just, and hats off to Jasmine Tate. I do like the fact that Jasmine Tate has made a difference in Chris Nettle's office. I really feel like that young man works hard, and he wants to do a good job down there, downtown. That's refreshing for City Hall. But the rest of them jokers, I don't know. And so I'm just saying it needs to be some changes. Yeah.
Chris, I know you're coming, Chris. Here we go. Hurry, real quick. Carrie, if elected, my campaign is not a campaign of promises. It's a campaign of purpose. I want people to know that, not a campaign of promise. But I will give you all my word on this. This is one thing I disagree with about council. This point of redress. They can't say nothing to you, you know, so they just gotta sit down and listen and take. I think if we were able to respond to the constituents, then we have a better dialogue, we have a better understanding. But for y'all to sit up there and say, council can't say nothing, right? Y'all can't say nothing. Mm-hmm. But y'all say something when y'all feel it's personal. It's sad that I have to get down there every time. I have to remind people this is not personal when I'm saying that. I have to remind people that, because I know sometimes your words can make people. If elected next Fort Worth mayor, the next mayor of Fort Worth, Adrian Devine-Smith vows to the city of Fort Worth residents that we will have a open redress where if you come down to council and you have questions, you will not be left in a space with a thank you, okay, next person. We're going to ask your questions. No matter how long it takes, we're going to have a back and forth. We're going to have a dialogue.
But listen, exactly. That's a good – let me expand on that for you, Adrian. Because I'm sitting here saying that what I've watched for the last year, a little bit more than a year, with Thomas when I got engaged, is they know. Here's what it is. They know Bob Willoughby, Thomas Torlincasi, Adrian Smith, Malik, my brother Malik Austin. Mm-hmm. They know it's the same, and I'm not putting them down. Because they are the vanguards, you know, of dissent. Mm-hmm. They're the dissident vanguards here that want accountability and transparency, regardless of political persuasion and this and that, whatever. But here's the thing. So they know this. They've known this for whatever. And what they do is this back channel BS about trying to limit speaking time. Why don't they show the engagement as public servants? If they know what's coming, then listen. Thomas is sitting out there for freaking 20 minutes before the fucking – I mean, you guys are there 20 minutes before the city council meeting starts. Show the initiative. Hey, come out and shake hands. Pull me out to the hall. Let's have a – what's coming up? I'm just trying to feel you out. I'm just engaging with you. Be genuine. So get ahead of it. Get ahead of it.
Wait. The mayor was doing that. She would take your speaker card and have her office call you and ask you what you wanted. But I'm just saying, I think that was to shut you down from coming down there. Like, listen, what can we do to stop you?
But here's what I'll say. Here's what I want to say about what we talked about, and I'll be over it, is these police chiefs, these public servants, these public elected officials, and anybody in a high office or high appointment, they need to freaking understand the American tradition. We live in a city where we have a Coliseum, one of our most prominent landmarks in Fort Worth, is named after Will Rogers. Will Rogers was the most devastating political satirist that there was in the history of the United States. The dude used to lash. He would tongue lash politicians like nothing. Politics is a gladiator sport. It ain't a snowflake field trip. That's all I'm saying.
Wow, I feel you. And you know what? Let me put that out there since we know City Hall listens. Since y'all listening and y'all did not respond to the mass email that I sent all of y'all, we still want Thomas Stolen Cosby to have a plaque downtown in City Hall. We still want that. We're still asking for that. And we see no reason why someone who was so actively engaged in city council meetings should not have one. So we're putting it on the record. We want that plaque for Thomas Twirling Cosby to be right down there by where people go into that city council meeting at. That part.
And I'm going to say real quick, just a quick bit. I'm not going to be elaborate. We need to be, as the people, the common class people, common sense, evaluate. We had that Will Rogers Coliseum, right? And Will Rogers is what I said he was, a political satirist, right? He put people on blast like nothing. So, what do we have going on here? We have a city council and a city government that is trying to eclipse. They're trying to – it's like this whole thing with the – they ain't trying to have a public dialogue. They ain't. It's like the Confederate thing, this, that, whatever. They're trying to have this they're trying to freaking whitewash history, revision history, this, that, without the public engagement. They're trying to freaking have this competition. So what do we have going on right now? Nobody's talking about Will Rogers ain't the freaking highlight of the Will Rogers Coliseum ain't the highlight of the stock show no more. It's this corporate Dickies arena. Come on. What is a Dickies arena? Corporate. No, we need it after named after a person with character, not a corporation for profit.
But they getting paid to use the name, so I'm sure that's where that
but
comes
I'm just
in.
Saying they built this Dickies arena to put the Will Rogers Coliseum. I'm just saying there's an aesthetic, there's a distinction to make there about what's going on with this city about trying to freaking control narrative and mix up the facts and the truth with deception. I'm tired of it.
I agree. Yeah, Terry, we got to move on a little quicker because we got quite a few. Okay, go ahead. Okay. We got quite a few to go.
No,
go ahead.
I was just saying what open dialogue also does real quick is see, if we have open dialogue where the council can readdress you, you are my constituent, and you ask me a question, and I'm sitting up there, and then we just let your time expire, and you move on. Or I say, somebody such and such get with you. Nobody knows what happens after that. So, but if I tell you,
tomorrow.
No. I want to be on the record for everybody to know that, you know what, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to do X, Y, Z, so that when it comes down the line, you can hold me to that. So if it comes back, it'll never have to come back up. So if you show your face back up at council meeting, it's not to thank me or this, that, or that. You probably won't have to show back up, or you'll show back up just to continue supporting, but you'll know that, damn, this council member is about, he said he's going to do something. He said it openly. People saw it. It's on the record, X, Y, Z. He didn't just brush me to the side. But if I tell somebody else just to deal with it, nobody knows what happens after that. But I digress.
I'm gonna put it on there real quick about that city council meeting. You know, we hammer the hell out of Maddie Parker. Fine, okay. But I'm just gonna sit here and say that just like we got, I'm not gonna get into that. But we got Maddie Parker. We give her hell. But I'm saying that what we saw on Tuesday, the Gina Bivens, okay, she's a lot more. She sat up there and told it before. She took commanding Cruella DeVille control, you know.
Ooh.
Cruella DeVille control, and she sat there and said, if you go over time, once we hit the button, I'm going to cut your ass off. I mean, I don't remember exactly what her verbiage was, but she had a briefing because she was feeling that they all knew that the blast was on the way. So I'm just sitting there saying that. We had all of those speakers up there, and there were a few of them that went over time, and she didn't cut them off. But when they were speaking mellow and kind of boosting her ego, then she let them kind of like teeter off. But if you ever see one who came up there with the dissident citizens that are known, she freaking flipped the switch and blocked them off the mic right there. And the other thing is, it's like what you said, this time limit thing. Something weird happened in this meeting, because when Tatum went over, I don't know, there was some kind of parliamentary process, and she said something to the city secretary about validation of this, that, whatever, and they gave him about, what, 8 or 9 minutes, him and his?
But that's what
I'm saying about what you say, that a city council member can make a motion to let that person expand on his thought, just like they do when a developer comes up.
You're calling that wrong. No, Tatum was within his right. What he said was, to be clear, Tatum said, I brought 10 people with me. So that means
not,
when you have 10 people.
I'm not knocking him for that.
Yeah.
I am not knocking him for
but
that.
But you're calling him out wrong.
You're right. I understand. I'm not knocking him down.
Yes.
I'm just giving light to the fact that there is a process when a city council member feels like that there should be an expanded, like what I'm going off of what Adrian was sitting there saying, that if I'm a city council member, then we need to sit there and say the 3 minutes we need to hear more. I motion city secretary or city attorney validate.
But you're calling him out wrong. My point is, there's a process. So to be clear, anybody listening, so that they're not confused, this is what Christopher said. If you come down there, one person, you can 3 minutes. If you have 10 people with you, then they give you 6 minutes. It used to be 10 minutes, but now they have 6 minutes, and that's what they were referring to when Kia Tatum was on the floor.
I'm not nailing him down. I'm just sitting here going off of what's-his-name saying, that a city council member should be able to motion when a person is expanding on something that needs to be heard up, then he should be able to sit there and say at this bell, I want to go ahead and give this person an extra 3 minutes to expand. They shouldn't turn off the freaking mic.
I don't think that's part of the rules, though. That's not the rule. You're not quoting rules, though. That's not the rule, right, Adrian? Okay, y'all, we got to move on to CCTV funding because we're way behind. Okay, y'all, listen. Now, there is a lot going on with the CCTV funding that just ain't right. A lot of people are saying that this money is like hush money to those people who are too outspoken down at City Hall, who are making too much noise, who they don't want the other people to hear.
Okay.
Then they give them the CCPD money. They also say the CCPD money is going to other people to help them control the people who are talking too much. And then we also hear about the group of, you're well connected with somebody downtown, so then your group gets the money. Well, y'all, that ain't exactly how it ought to go, because the CCPD money is supposed to be money that's allocated to nonprofit organizations that have whatever they're going on in their nonprofit, somehow the way it has a connection to bridge the gap between police and community. Now, if it ain't doing that, you ain't supposed to be getting no money. But I'm going to say this about an unnamed person who they allege they gave the money to, and they are saying they want it back. Well, the question is, under what criteria would you ask for the money back? Because if the person had the organization that met the criteria and only met the criteria, then they should have gotten the money. So then, if you're calling for their money back, under what criteria are you asking for it back? And then does that therefore call for an audit for all the rest of them? Just FYI. So that's something I heard about, and it's been confirmed many times. So there needs to be an audit, in my opinion, of those who get CCPD money. In my opinion, the audit should include, how was the money used? Are the funds being held in a business account or personal account? The function that the nonprofit has, and how it's connected to the community and bridging the community and the police together, and a track record of the nonprofit. I think that's fair.
I think that'll shut down
a whole community. Sure, go ahead.
The CCPD, okay, in its intention and in its inception was a good intention. However, well, you got to look. There's a whole state government code on the CCPD fund, and it's very meticulous, and it states there is a CCPD board, right?
Mm-hmm.
That,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I mean, I could be wrong in some aspects, but the CCPD board, okay, in the lawful function, they're supposed to follow that code, and they're supposed to appropriate the funds, and they validate. And let me tell you, the parameters for validation under the CCPD, if you read the Texas government, I think it's under, Texas government code, whatever the CCPD fund is, if you read out on it, there is a very wide spectrum CCPD board. It's supposed to receive, you go to that CCPD board and you petition to it, like whoever this individual is, they come and they make a presentation. That CCPD board has the obligation to validate that stuff. It has the fiscal obligation to validate that stuff. And when that, I'm just sitting here saying, it happens all across Texas. The CCPD is a slush fund. Honestly, it's become a slush fund that doesn't serve, because you can sit there and you can come in. If you were a contractor, you can get somebody in some neighborhood to sit there and say, hey, we need streetlights, right? So this citizen on this address, you're a contractor, you want streetlights, or you want some kind of fence. If you're a fence builder, you need a fence for security purposes. If you just take one little, you just thread the little needle with one little aspect that can be interpreted as crime control and articulated as crime control and prevention, such as if I build a building that has an antenna on it, that has a camera on it for security purposes, then I can freaking almost build that whole building and pay. That's how it's become with the CCPD fund. That's 2 or 3 cents on your sales to be, it needs to be reworked. I'm just saying that they have no grounds to sit there and recuperate those funds, because that CCPD funded, and that this particular person, I guarantee that they articulated, they came to that, and when they made that application, they articulated that they might have some kind of function in the community that the CCPD board determined and validated was beneficial for the purpose of crime control and protection. And it could be a basketball coach, it could be a soccer league, or whatever.
Let's just say this, hold up. First of all, and I hear you, but let's be clear. The people of Fort Worth are not interested in you got a fingernail that may connect you to the police department. No, that ain't what we're talking about, and that ain't what people are wanting. Nobody wants somebody to get $30,000, $50,000, $300,000, $600,000 I'm getting mad just thinking about it. No. And so
I agree.
The board, y'all, the board is the city council and the mayor. That's who sits on the CCPD funding board.
And it
so
shouldn't be that
these
way.
Are
it's
people
supposed
who,
to be community members.
Right. These are people, hold up. These are people who are supposed to be good stewards of the money. And so you're not going to tell me that these people who boast about they are the people who make the decisions for the city, you would think then that they would use that money. They would not give $10 million to 40 organizations, and some of them don't even meet the basic criteria. I'm sorry. That just does not make sense.
I agree. And listen, I'm going to tell you why they got that going to them, why they got those particular people. They're sitting on that board because that's a lot. That's millions of dollars in Fort Worth, okay, annually. They got their thumb on that as the elected officials. If it worked like it was intended to work and they got people in the community, you know what would happen? That CCDB, that CCPD board would be a very big it would be independent, but it still has to, I think that it has to work through the city council appropriations or whatever. But the CCPD, if they had an actual CCPD board the way it was supposed to work, it's kind of, they could sit there and say, well, what we have, our crime control prevention district is police and police. This year, we want to police. So we want an oversight board with the crime control district funds. So they present that freaking thing to the city council, and then that's how it works. But that's why they want to have their thumbs on all that, because money is power in government. And so that's why they want to have, that's why they don't want a legitimate community-based elected or appointed by democratic process community activism or the people in the community controlling the crime control district funds like it's supposed to be. They're supposed to have, the community is supposed to have the input. My bad.
I agree. Adrian, you want to sign in before we move on to the CCPD funding?
I think what we'll do in any department is audits, maybe to see how the money's actually being used, because it's one thing to be just giving money to people. It's another thing for their money to be used for other purposes other than what it was given for. And I'm sure the police are not running out of money. Much money they've been given over the years, I'm sure their budget is not, and they're not patrolling, so they're putting up all the surveillance. That's why there's no patrol and this, that, other. But I can move on from CCPD.
I'll just make this point real quick. I know for a fact that in some municipalities, and I'm pretty sure I've heard up on it on Fort Worth, that they want, that the chief, I don't know if it was notes or whatever, but in history, the chiefs always come to that CCPD board and they freaking advocate for their little slice of the pizza. And I got a feeling that, I know if you follow the CCPD fund, it was paid for flock. They used some of it for flock cameras that were to be installed as infrastructure. And I'm not an advocate of those flock cameras. That's like super Orwellian.
Me either.
Listen, y'all,
we're going to move on because we got some.
Yeah.
Okay. We got some ground to cover, y'all. Okay, so if you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. And tonight we're talking about the state of the city going into the May 6, 2023 election. So much going on. Basically, it feels like the city is unraveling. And so with that said, the crime in this city is out of control. We found out last night or yesterday sometime, Carlos Flores, who is the city council person for District 2, his 82-year-old mother was shot inside her doorway of her home in North Fort Worth. And she did survive. She said she thought it was a member of her family, and she yelled out. I guess she heard some noise at the door or something. She yells out. Yeah, correct me if I'm getting the story wrong, but she yells out thinking it's a family member, and then she hears gunshots, and she realizes that she's been hit. We understand they're saying that the gunshot came from the next yard, which makes no sense to me, because if she thought she heard somebody at the door, then how did they get to the neighbor's yard? And so that part is like a little confusing for me. But I understand they shot her from the neighbor's yard. So, you know, when they're shooting at the councilman's mother, 82-year-old mother, a lot's going on. But if y'all remember correctly, or some of y'all may not, Jim Lane, who recently died, attorney Jim Lane, he used to be the council person over in District 2. And someone shot at his house some years back, which I found basically very strange, the fact that they both were council persons, both had shootings at their house. And then when you think about Maddie Parker had the casket, which they allege had some type of strange bag inside of it, set on her lawn. It was put on her lawn, I think, maybe 3 months ago, something like that. So... Mm-hmm. Are these connections?
I didn't hear nothing about the bag. What was the bag?
There was a bag inside, and they claim, you know, they had. Yeah, it was a bag inside. Go back and watch Tanya's video. But yeah, it was
Okay.
It was a bag. So, my thing is this: when the councilman's mother is being shot, and the the mayor is getting caskets on her lawn. Is that a message that some disgruntled people in the city are trying to say, listen to us, hear us, you know, or is there something else going on? I don't know.
Well, from where I stand, I make a distinction from what I know. I have to look into this another aspect of what you're saying. But from what I know from the casket thing, just from where I stand and what I've read about it, I mean, it's an uncomfortable fact of being, like I said, but it's what I call that I call that dissident activism. I mean, I'm just saying, it wasn't an intrusion. It wasn't a trespass on her property. They dropped it off on the easement of her property as a demonstration, a right of redress, a freedom of expression, because there are grievances. There are everybody's name on that casket, okay? I don't know what we're talking about with the other dimension of the bag inside there, whatever, but to call that terror – to sit there and label that up as terroristic threat or some kind of stalking or whatever, that's malarkey. That's what you have to deal with when you become a public official and you have this. I call that active. I'm not advocating it on a regular basis, but when you are when you have morbid failure of leadership, that's what you got to expect. It's coming.
And Carrie, I think the gentleman that committed the act against the Councilman Flores, the gentleman that they said committed the act, put like that. All right, because they got somebody arrested. He's probably he's in federal lockup. I don't know where they keep the federal lockup at Fort Worth, but he's in federal lockup because he was a. I think they said identified as a felon with he's a felon with a felon, you know, a felon, so you know he can't have a gun, this, that, or the other. But and I looked him up. I didn't see him in Fort Worth. I didn't see him in Fort Worth's database. But my thing is this: if he is said to be the individual, will he say why he did it or what was going on? Will we know what's going on? Will we ever know what's going
on?
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, can I just ask you what was his name?
I had to look it up.
But you know what? In my opinion, you know, when someone, because first of all, I know people have all kinds of lives, and you can't speak for anybody but yourself. But when somebody comes out of an 82-year-old, I don't know very many 82-year-olds that have that kind of, you know, enemy
right.
that they will come to.
Yeah,
I would more believe this has something to do with our councilman, and I would just say, councilman, somebody's sending a serious message to you that they can put their hands on you or your family whenever they want to. That's what it says to me. You know, that there's no other way to think of that. You know, when they come for your mama, I'm just saying.
But here's the thing,
but,
and you know what? That's what I'm saying about in this county, this issue of transparency with this this thing that we get with a lot of these things whenever it involves somebody, just like with the casket issue or just like with these police shootings and stuff with Aaron Dean, we get this scrambled puzzle of facts broadcast out in the media through the Star Telegram and whatever. No. I mean, we preliminary facts don't determine what it is. We need a follow-up. And when we get this little piece and this little piece and the transparency, and that's what it promotes. And so if somebody wants to be offended with somebody freaking throwing out some kind of inferences because of what they give us, then, yeah, they
got
to deal with that.
I got the story. Let me get a portion of the story. Let me just get a portion of it. So Flores' son, who is a Fort Worth city – I'm just reading portions. So Flores' son, who is Fort Worth district – to City Council, Carlos Flores said in a statement to NBC5 that his mother was hit with a stray bullet fired from the backyard of a nearby property, and that he called 911 while attending to her. First responder said,
Now y'all,
hold on.
The first story did not say that though. But go ahead. Mm-hmm.
No. Go ahead. You go ahead and talk. I'm gonna read through it so I can see what I'm missing.
The first story that I read from Channel 5, I believe, said that his mother said she heard somebody's voices. It's who she believes was a relative, went to the door, and then heard gunshot and found that she had been shot. Now they're trying to say something totally different, that it was a stray bullet?
Here you go, Carrie. So Ms. Flores told police she had been inside of her North South Forest home when she – that's my dog. Hold on one second. Get on, Barbie. She said someone approached her back door. At first, she told police she thought the person was a relative and called out that person's name. The woman said she then heard a gunshot followed by sudden pain in her abdomen and the sight of blood.
Right.
Whether she was shot intentionally or unintentionally, that part I don't know. I mean, it's still going to be blah, 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 investigate, blah, 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 blah. First responders transported the woman to Texas, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Flores' son, this is the part I just read. Flores' son, who is Fort Worth District 2 City Council Carlos Flores, said in a statement to NBC 5 that his mother was hit with a stray bullet fired from the backyard of a nearby property and that he called 911 while attending to her. So does he stay with her? Does she stay with him?
Oh, no. I don't know.
Well, I'm not going to connect it at all. But I do know that there was another prominent family in the north side of Fort Worth, a prominent political family in the north side of Fort Worth, who had a member who was the city manager, I think Ventura or Santa Barbara in California, who there was a murder of some kind that happened last year or about a year ago. And I'm going to research that to see. I don't know if I don't know if there's a jive or connection, but this might be some gangland stuff, man.
I'm just giving the name. The gentleman's name is, he's 35-year-old Jonathan Howard. And he was arrested at 4:30 a.m. At a home in Lincoln Avenue, about two blocks away from Flores' home on Circle Park. So he's been charged with unlawful possession of a firearm by a felon. And they said they didn't say how they identified Howard in the shooting or what additional charges is expected. It's not clear if Howard has obtained an attorney. So there you go.
This is what sticks out to me, that addendum that they put that Flores was there was not on the initial story. And then the second thing is how quickly they caught him. Now, the casket was put on the mayor's lawn several months ago. We ain't heard another word about how that investigation is going, if they caught anybody. We know there's plenty of cameras in the mayor's neighborhood. We ain't heard another word about the casket. But this man shoots somebody, and y'all already got him in custody. That part.
Okay, just FYI. But anyway, we're moving on, y'all. just going to leave that right there. Okay, y'all, we're going to talk about the crime in Fort Worth besides what happened to the mayor and what happened to Carlos Flores, his mother. First of all, I found out in research today that the crime rate in Fort Worth is 32 per 1,000 residents. And what they said is Fort Worth has one of the highest crime rates in America, compared to all the communities of all sizes.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we ain't hearing. It says one's chance of becoming a victim of either violent or property crime here is 1 in 31. That ain't what we're hearing. So they said homicides in the closest race that we got, or the closest numbers that we got, were from 2021. They said homicides increased by 4.3. They said aggravated assaults increased by 7.5. Burglaries increased by 0.05. And robberies allegedly decreased by 19.4. But this is what really struck me that I thought about a Tatiana Jefferson in this one. They said that the total calls that police got was 1,279,935. The non-emergency calls were 421,184. Now, this is the number that really threw me. The calls officers responded to was only 253,199.
That's your problem. So what happened to the other
million calls?
Problem.
You want to go ahead, or can
The total calls was 1,279,935.
Mm-hmm.
The non-emergency calls came in at 421,184. The calls that police officers responded to was only 253,199. So what is we giving 80% of the budget to? For what? They ain't going out on the call.
I'll explain it exactly what you just said. You went very technical into the way we report crimes, okay? The way that they, this statistic to that, to this statistic to this, that, whatever, you got nonviolent crime and violent crime. They conflate that for the total crime rate. And I'm going to sit here and say, I don't know if you watched the whole video that I sent out about Neil Noakes appearing at that. If you listen to everything that he said, he's one of these persons that's completely downplaying what you're talking about. But what I will sit there and say is, that and it's not personal, man. I just wish I don't hate the man, okay? I don't, but I'm just saying that I want equitable government. I want a response for if I'm going to have the tax rate increases and everything. But what I'm saying to the point of the crime rate is they manipulate it. The what you're talking about with these numbers of calls, non-emergency and 911 calls, and then the response rate.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they manipulate. They can the powers that be in a municipality, they control that. They control the response. But the crime rate depends on arrests and reports. So the crime reported. So if they don't respond to these crimes, for whatever reason they don't respond to, it suppresses. So what I say is violent crime, and this is what they do. If the violent, if they know the violent, because they can't really hide a murder. You know what I'm saying? So when they see the murders spike, when the powers that be see the violent crime rate spiking, then what they do to manipulate the total crime rate statistic that the common class people want to understand is they stop responding. They stop being aggressive about combating or about enforcing or investigating calls on shoplifting or purse snatching or burglary. And what that does, because everybody's just trying to look at the simple thing. The simple thing is the crime rate. But the crime rate is a combination that conflates nonviolent and violent crime. The murder rate in Fort Worth and the violent crime rate in Fort Worth, since Neil Noakes since Neil Noakes and Krause, it started to climb. It started to climb when they fired Fitzgerald for the first time in 27 years. It started to climb
Let's stop. Okay. I hear what you're saying, but you're going to the next step. We're just talking about the beginning. Where is that difference at between the 1,279,935 calls and the 253,199 calls that they're responding to? That's a whole gap of a million.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So somebody needs to make it clear, break down the data of where, what happened. Like, give us some data on the call came in and what happened that you got this big of a difference in the, you know, in what went out, who responded and who didn't. Are we saying that it's due to staff? Because if we are saying that's due to staffing, we're in a state of emergency just with the police department. And if it ain't due to staffing, then we got enough staff to cover these calls, and they ain't covering them, then we got a problem with that too. And then whoever came up with these numbers, is this a mistake? Or is this really what's going on? Because, again, our council you know, have no place to sit up there on high horses and not be taking care of this, because this should be priority. But ain't nobody talking about this. So to me, that makes no sense. It just makes no sense. And it's very alarming. And I think that's somebody needs to be doing a FOIA request Monday morning to figure out, explain the difference. Like, how you do that. Because if you're sending people who are supposed to be going out on a welfare check, and like they're going to take care of a burglary, and then other emergencies are not being tended to, it's just too much falling through the gap. That's just my opinion. But we're going to move on. I digress.
Let me ask a question real quick. Just to put it out there, a rhetorical question. I don't need an answer, but I'm curious, because we have a welfare check, or the thing with the Tatiana. This is how I'm going to explain how it might work in the way that I see things figuring. You have this call for an open structure. That's not a reported crime, right? Okay, so you got this call. So this is a call that's going to increase that number, right? I just want to understand how you get from this call correlates to a murder, a violent crime. So I'm just saying that's how they manipulate. They shift the thing around. So it was reported, this crime was reported as an open structure, but we're not going to report it statistically to the FBI as a that it turned into a murder. I'm just letting you know.
Or do they turn those calls into the Attorney General?
Oh, yeah, it goes up to there. It goes up there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the Attorney General, but the FBI thing, the crime rate has to do with the NCIC statistics that they report to the FBI, not to the state.
Okay. All right, so listen, no. We're going to move on. we still got a little ground to cover. Okay, let's talk about the fact, and we're going to segue right into the fact that the police are out of control. First of all, how many officers have gotten fired this year alone? I've lost count. The slow response time, the falsifying of these police reports. I think it's been proven lately through multiple sources that they are falsifying these police reports. The fact that IAD is not an arm of the police department that can be trusted. They 9 times out of 10 are going to side with the police. They're only record people. That's all they're doing is documenting the file of the officers, but they're not going to ever, for the most part, agree that you were done wrong. They just don't do it. And then the fact that there's no transparency and accountability if you take a complaint to them. So, you know, and I don't know Chief Noakes, never met him. I sat near him. I was in the city council meeting. That's just about all I can tell you about the man. But at this particular time, it really just doesn't feel like he has control of the department. Because one thing I do know, and I spent just a little stint in law enforcement, that was a year and a half. And the guy who was in charge, and I don't even know if he's alive anymore, name was Carpenter. And we used to call, you know, we used to say, you know, Carpenter, you know, was this, he was that. But one thing he did is instill the fear of God in you. If you don't do your job, you will not be here. And that was clear. It was very clear. You're going to get there on time, you're going to do your job, or you're not going to be here. And that was at the Tarrant County Sheriff's Department, so that's the truth. And it was like it was very little that you know, and I don't know the current sheriff. I don't. But in the year and a half that I worked there, there weren't any deaths because the people did the tank checks on time. And our floor was so solid that I worked on that we knew each other and we knew how to get the job done in the 8 hours. And so it just is what it was. And so what I'm saying that to say that this particular police department, in my opinion, does not respect the Hagan. And I say that because Chief Noakes, that they respected you. They would come to work every day, do their job, and go home. They would not be an embarrassment to the department. They would not be doing things that they knew would make the city look bad.
And they also would know if they did, they wouldn't have a job the next day. And so for that reason, I say they don't respect the current chief, because if they did, they wouldn't be doing what they do to make him look bad. That's just my opinion. I mean, the 97-page report proved that. The fact that Kim Neal said that we need a citizens review board, the fact that the Brady list looks like what it looks like, that says that's the head. And a lot of times people don't realize whenever something goes terribly wrong at the bottom, it's because it's starting at the head. Now, I'm not saying it's him directly, but I'm saying whatever aura he's putting out to his understaff, they're not seeing him as someone who will cut your head off if he has to. One thing I got to give Bessie Price, and y'all know me and Bessie didn't have some rounds on this show. Anyway, but Bessie fired two police chiefs. Don't forget it. She didn't. Because she was letting them know, whenever you don't do what I want you to do, you got to go. Now, I'm not saying she did Fitzgerald right. I'm just saying. I don't know. I know she got Halstead right, but I don't know if she got Fitzgerald right. But she was letting them, she was putting the fear in God in them that you're going to do what I say or you got to go. And I think that's the fear of God that Noakes is not putting in his people. Can y'all agree with
that? I think Noakes has to his advantage. He knows his counsel is not going to do anything. He knows his counsel is favorable to him. He knows this, so he's using that to his advantage. I'm not sorry, but he's on my list if elected mayor. I'm sorry, but he's on my list. Whether it be demotion or termination. So, man, God put that in the air, oh well. But Chief Noakes, you've been served notice, sir. If Adrian Devine Smith is elected mayor of Fort Worth, sir, yeah, you will possibly be demoted or you will be possibly fired. We will have to see what direction the council wants to go in, or let's see what direction the citizens want to go in, because they're the ones who are having to deal with this crime rate, this unspoken crime rate.
A crime rate and a police problem. You know, that's a lot going on, and that's
right.
It's going to fall on him. And I just think the city is in turmoil, and we don't have a police department that we can trust. You know, like you call the police, they may show up, they may not. You know, and then if they do show up, you may get killed. So, you know, you have to always question, like, do I call the police, or do I try to figure this out by, you got people who are trying to resolve problems that they typically wouldn't try to resolve on their own, but it's because they don't have any confidence in the police department.
I got the police called on me the other day, Carrie, because I refused to leave my personal bags in the front of a store, because I had a little carry bag that I carry things in, and I had a bag with some breakfast items in it. I walked in the store, was greeted. She said, "Sir, you got to leave the bag up front." I said, "No, I'm not leaving. I'm responsible for these bags. I'm not leaving it up front. I'm going to continue shopping." "Well, sir, you got to leave, blah, blah, blah." She followed me to the store. She said, I grabbed the items I was going to grab. I said, "You are more than welcome when I get up front to go through my bags." You know what I'm saying? Because, for one, if you have a problem with theft at your particular store, you need to have a sign on the store that states all bags. That lets me know that you've been having theft problems. All bags need to be left at the store. This was a clear plastic bag and a little carry bag I carry around my shoulder. I get to the counter. She said, you know what? No, I'm not ringing you up. And guess what she was doing? I said, "What are you doing?" "Oh, you calling the police?" I said, "You know what? I'm going to stay here until they arrive, because we know how that go when people call the police. I need to know what it is you're telling them." Officer showed up. Mm-hmm. She opened the door. I stepped out. She said, "You can go ahead and leave." I said, "Huh?" She said, "You can leave." That's all she wanted you to do is leave. And I explained to her, the reason I stayed was because of the fact that, now think if I would have got down the street. See, I stayed on the scene because had I got down the street, they would have tried to probably harass me, this, there ain't no telling what she would have told. So I stayed there to see what exactly it is she was going to tell her. What are you telling these people? Other than I refuse to leave my bags in the front of the store. You see how it happens when they call people. They get this free reign to call the police just for nuts, you know.
Because you know what? They want to see what the police going to do to a black man when they get there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Therefore.
And I would just, I would just make the amendment to what you said about Betsy Price firing two police chiefs and everything. There's a distinction to be made by Halstead and Fitzgerald, because I will sit here and say that I've looked into the whole Betsy Price thing. I've seen a lot of what the whole Fitzgerald thing was a flex from Cook. I've seen transcripts and commentaries. I think that Betsy Price selected, I think that at the time when Fitzgerald was hired, I think that Betsy Price had leverage over Cook. And I think in that transition period between when Fitzgerald came in, I think she made Cook hire Fitzgerald as an outsider, as a flex. And that was her demise, because she went against the Fort Worth way with the Fort Worth POA and the Fort Worth POA sway. She took the initiative to go ahead and be the leader and stand up, and she got, and then Hooks worked it from behind to get him out of there. And so it's a funny little thing, but I'm going to go ahead and sit there and say, I'll back up Betsy Price on that issue. I don't think that nothing that happened with Fitzgerald, I think she was pretty happy and eager to see him continue as chief. That was a David Cook flex, and that was it. So
I don't know about that. We're going to go to the phone lines. Area code 682-250. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk for War.
Bob Malik here. Chris, you all. That was Betsy Price and David Cook.
Mm-hmm.
They got caught with their hands in them.
Yeah.
I think he might.
Fitzgerald called him.
I think he was both. Mm-hmm.
They wanted him to do some things that he refused to do.
Mm. Yeah, I know. I know all about that story. I just haven't heard publicly that. I don't think Betsy Price was trying. I think it was a David. And like I said, I think it was a David Cook move.
No, and again, you off. I'll talk to the man personally.
Yeah.
That ain't what it was, bro. And I'll see the paperwork.
Yeah. My bad.
Yeah. I agree with that. Do you agree that the police department is out of control, Malik?
F is an F, Kier. F is an F. I stand by it. Just like Adrian said, this council is weak as peanut butter.
It's time for notes to go.
They're looking at dollar signs before they look at them. They have no integrity. And what I seen last night, the Watcher councilman lied to a matriarch of their community. Just bold-faced lied to this. So somebody's old enough to be his grandmother.
Oh, now you're talking about, let me set it up, Aaron. Okay, because that was our last one. We got to get you tonight, y'all. We're going to talk about the fact that there was they're basically the fight over the renaming of the Hillside Community Center. We understand that the whole community is divided. I had a talk with Mr. James today about this. He disagreed. But I said it seems like the community is divided on this particular issue.
Mr. James, you took a scary ass across the street. That's what he should have done.
No, Mr. James is listening tonight. So, Mr. James, you want to defend yourself?
Okay.
You can. I think the community is divided, and I really think I hate to see that because
it is divided.
I feel like it's divided, and I think that it was going from the Hillside Community Center to or has been changed to the Tatiana Carr Jefferson Community Center at Hillside. And I think the community is divided over the fact, if I'm understanding them correctly, that, you know, they felt like the community center didn't have anything to do with the Tatiana Jefferson, that as tragic as her death was, it has no connection to the community center. And so, therefore, they thought it should have been, if it was going to be changed to somebody who was connected to the community in a way where they had provided service to the community. I think that's what I understood to be happening. And if I remember correctly, when they did the vote Maddie Parker told Chris, she said, if I was you, Chris, do you really want to think about pausing the vote and going and talking to the community? And Chris went ahead and took the vote. He said, no, we're going to take the vote. And they voted unanimously to do it. So I understand now that the Neighborhood Association was not notified of the change prior to that happening. Mr. James, if I'm wrong, please correct me.
He admitted that he did not go through the appropriate channels that most communities would have done. And then when he said that he had support, he couldn't name the people he went to go talk to. When the matriarch of the community asked him, and you can tell who these people are. My thing is, what's the best resolution for the situation? Thing of it is, had things would have been done appropriately, we wouldn't arrive to this point. It wasn't the community that created this problem. It was the council.
Exactly. And can I get on that?
And the only thing he had to do is follow suit. So what's driving your engine? I guarantee you there's some money behind it, Sister Kira. You lined up with these contracts. I see through the BS. I know better. They don't like what I say. They don't like what I say. Fight, go with it. I ain't playing. We ready.
I feel you. I feel you, Malik. And this is what we got out there right from the beginning when we first talked about this topic was the whole thing was premature. And the city council, all of them should have been mature enough, including Nettles, okay? But what I'm telling you is it's strategic. It's strategic division, okay? Because they were freaking in a bind with the PD thing and the county thing, the whole crony confederacy thing. They needed a distraction because they felt they saw the black community and the people empathetic and sympathetic to the black community organizing. So they threw this little thing, this fetish with the naming of a community center out when they had all kinds of other priority details to deal with. And I don't like
it. The community shouldn't be at a divide. If you make a mistake, Chris, own up to your mistake, then correct the mistake.
Bow down. You're a public servant.
Thank you, man.
Quick observation.
That's what I'm saying is that I'm not tripping. Understand me, but the people don't need to be back and forth. Go at the head of the state.
Exactly.
Real quick, y'all. Do y'all think, let me ask y'all this question, y'all, because we talk about the potential. I don't put that in our division. Listen, when Maddie Parker said what she said to Chris, y'all know Chris has been a thorn in the side to them. You know he's been kind of stirring them up. He's kind of been like a thorn in the side to some of them on their dais. When she said what she said to him and he went ahead and went through with their vote, and Chris knowing that this possibility would set up him an opponent going forward because they could have said, hey, you divided, woo-woo-woo. Is it possibility that she thought it within the head or they thought within the head, this good, we can get him out because somebody's going to just, if he goes with this vote and goes against this community, they're divided, it's a possibility somebody will go against him and we'll get him off of here. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know how people thinking. Just an observation.
I don't think so because she gave him the out. She said, hey, why don't you want to consider,
yep.
She got kind of like I'm giving you a suggestion. You think you want to go talk to the community before you take this vote? Giving him an out. So if somebody giving you an out, that ain't like setting you up. They're saying, hey, think about this
Hold on. I was there last night. The man come in the room telling these folks what they need to do. We ain't going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how the people who put the work in the community are going to be memorialized. We're going to put it on a plaque. Didn't ask nobody what they want and what they want done. I said, man, you're the youngest person in the room, just about. Since when did you tell your grandma what and how to do? That ain't the way you go about doing business, man. You ain't got one problem resolved. This still is an issue.
Mm.
Let me
the
show the picture.
In the phone was totally, and yeah, how in the world you gonna tell somebody we ain't gonna talk about the name of the center? Who does that,
so,
man?
But they're saying that it's already a done deal. Is it a moot point right now to be talking about it? If it's a done deal?
Well, it is. If the people go in petition.
Okay.
But let me
tell
you, let me ask people to look at the optics and paint this picture for you. If you look at all city councils in Texas, you got this dais, right? And normally, when you see a dais of city council members, even in a city, a manager council concept, that manager is in a lower step down at a different dais. He's got his desk over there to the side, and he's got his own little microphone. Fort Worth is the only place that I've seen where the city manager is sitting up there on the dais right next to the mayor. And I'm going to tell you, the script, I just got this feeling that all of these junior busters, with some color in their hair, except for the one that dyes their hair, Gina Bivens, they getting fed the script from David Cook. David Cook needs to get off that dice and bow down and go.
They need to
put the city manager on both.
But we're in the city manager style of government, though. Remember?
I know, but the optics. I'm just telling you. He's up there on the dais, and you've got all those other people on the dais who are voices. The one who is writing the script for all those other voices is the one who don't say shit. Hey, Malik.
I agree, 110%.
Malik, didn't do it with
Bicycle Bessie. That's a different.
And Malik, observation to the situation over there on the historic South Side. Since you got the naming right, he already signed up on it. You're right. Now it's time for you to ask the. Since you didn't ask before, now it's time. If you want to bring togetherness, ask the people of that community what more they want to do. It can't just be this is
they
what we're going to do.
They not satisfied with that. Agent, you wasn't there. Even when he brought that, what you talking about up and passed around the paper was blank, bro.
Gotcha. Okay, so now it's time to take it back and redo it.
That's what I'm saying, bro. The hell what they talking about, bro. If it would have been in my neighborhood in Holly Hills, bro, that wouldn't have went down like that. It would have been in Cumberland, it wouldn't have went down like that. If it would have been in Star 6, it wouldn't have been down like that. Tanglewood, let's go on. You're supposed to go to the neighborhood association and the community when you got stuff like that going on, bro.
I'm going to punctuate my remarks for the night real quick. I can sit here and say that administratively with the city, the number one effective thing that would happen with the new city council or the current city council, if we want to see the Big Bang Theory take place for change, get rid of David Cook.
I agree.
Because what you was talking about, Adrian, we all distracted with Noakes and the city council and everything like that, right? If you get David Cook out of here, Noakes goes away too.
I agree. That's the first thing you should do if you win, man, is get rid of city man. That's just common sense.
Yeah.
But that thing right there, bro, they wouldn't have pulled that mess with them folks in Tanglewood. I guarantee you they wouldn't. It wouldn't have been a thought in their brain.
Wow.
And the mayor would have fought Chris tooth and nail. The mayor would have fought Chris tooth and nail.
Let me ask you a question. Maybe somebody who has the answer can tell me. What happened to the freeway? Was this a pacifier?
Let me tell you something. That's Bailey Hutchinson Freeway. That's the state. My daddy worked for the state. The city can't tell the state a damn thing. It don't work that way.
You know, sometimes they'll say, well, we can't get this done, but we can get this done. So was it one of those bait and switches, like, okay, we're not going to give you this, but we can give you this? Was it something like that the reason that the people were not asked about it? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, this how it
not
works,
that it makes
here.
Money.
This how it
so
works.
I'm just saying, not that it makes money. Because, you know, everybody wants to be included and feel like they're part of their community and what's going on in their community. So I get that part. But I'm just saying, does the city...
The interstate does not belong to the city. That is controlled by the state.
Yeah.
That's how it works. You can put the paperwork in, and that has to go through, I think Kay Bailey Hutchins is on that board.
Wow.
She got to sign off on it. It ain't that easy.
I'm going to ask Mr. James. He cannot answer me if he wants to. Mr. James, can I ask you if the freeway is still on the table or is it not on the table anymore? Mr. James. Okay, Mr. James is not going to answer me. Okay.
Well, you can pull the paper.
That's
public information.
I think
but I
think
you got to go.
Oh.
Because I forgot I researched. Yeah, my daddy was the engineer for the highway department. I know that. I grew up in it. That ain't the way it worked.
But
are y'all talking about
a
Tatiana Jefferson on that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not against it, but I'm still saying that this issue – this kind of issue is I'm just saying, give it spirit, but it's premature. I mean, that's just
well,
from my
like the people were saying over there, bro, because I'm from over the South Side. Let's get this clear.
Yeah.
The people are saying is other people. Most rec centers always have some form of founder or the people who put the work in. That's what they saying, bro.
Right.
That's what I respect it. But what I'm saying is, back to the councilman, we wouldn't be talking about this had you did the procedure correctly. We just don't take anything and just say, oh, hey, there it is, this is the way it goes, and he rushed the vote. And you can't explain the people who you talked to when the matriarch from the neighborhood association, he couldn't answer. He admitted that he did it wrong.
I said,
oh, wow.
My suggestion was to name the park Hillside Memorial Park and make a huge-ass memorial to a Tatiana Jefferson and all of
okay,
the black
Okay, this is what Ms. Watson said. One of the matriarchs, he said, they could have put it in the museum over there that they built.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, to me,
that's good.
Suitable place.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, what she's saying was right before, you know, the woman was halfway attacked, you know what I'm saying, for voicing her opinion, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, anybody that disrespects a matriarch, the elder queen, you got something wrong with you.
They got on Opal Lee?
No, it was the people of the community.
Oh, I was just
it's
talking
one of the,
about
one of the queens in the community,
the
Chris. But, you know.
Who's the matriarch?
So Malik. Malik
lady from the south side of Ms. Watson is one of the main players. And Coach Greg Wesley's mother is Ms. Winston was the main one fought for everything for that center.
Yeah.
That's what they saying is that, just like Brother Malcolm said last night, he said, as a citizen, municipal votes, state votes, and federal votes, which our presidential election, we all got one vote. And what they feel as if they didn't have an opportunity to vote, and they took it away the way Chris went about doing it. That's why they upset, bro.
Hey, can we get on that topic real quick, Terry?
Yep, and we got to go after that. Go ahead.
Yeah.
That whole thing with the election, we talking about this election task force, and I brought it up. I popped it off. About we got an election task force about election integrity and everything like that, right?
Right.
And I got this controversy going on. I got this controversy stirred up just because I'm being objective, okay? I'm not being partisan or anything, but I'm looking at election integrity, and we got Crystal Mason who inadvertently, maybe we can sit there and say she inadvertently had an error in judgment. And she got 5 years felony federal felony with a stacked on to her probate her parole and everything. And they freaking went balls to the wall justice on her. However, we got the police chief Neil Noakes going out to a Republican Party in uniform, badge, everything, badge, gun. I don't know what all the y'all specifics are. And he's out there at this Republican Party campaign pep rally, right? And he's putting on a show about, oh, you know, a self-interested political opinion talking about, and I watched, if you watched the video, I don't know, I've seen it out there, but if right. you watch the video, people want to argue with me about was it political speech. Well, he made a political opinion. It was right after the Tuesday night little situation at the City Hall. He left there and went over to Old South, I think. That's my assumption. I think it's figuring out that way. And he talked about how all the haters at City Council, expressing their dissent. And then he talked, you know, it just went on and on. So I'm just sitting there saying that's a violation of the Texas government code and the city code on political activity. You can't appear to a campaign event and make a political speech in uniform representing the color of your official capacity, okay? And we can argue this, that, whatever. But the dude, the bottom line is city council needs to censure him. I'm not saying put him in jail for it. I'm not saying fire him for it. But he needs to be publicly called out because that was inappropriate for him to sit there. Like he made insinuations about Manuel Mata throwing a camera in somebody's face and cussing out their mama and shit like that. He ain't talking. He's expressing a political speech about his self-interested perspective. So, boom, that's what it is. And he needs to be reported for it.
Wow. All right, y'all. Listen, we have come to the close of another show. Wow. We thank you, the audience, for listening. We do this each and every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Listen, if you have a campaign, a business, a service, or a product, please consider advertising right here on Let's Talk Fort Worth. Also, listen, if you don't have on any of those things and you like what we do, you like the content that we bring you each and every week, consider donating to the show. We are so wanting to take this to the next level, but it takes money. It takes new equipment. It takes a lot of things to get us to where we need to be, but we're striving, and we just ask you to consider donating to the show. Also, listen, y'all, follow us on Facebook. We are on Facebook under Let's Talk Fort Worth. Let's Talk Fort Worth on Facebook. Also, y'all, our Cash App, if you decide to be generous tonight, our Cash App is paypal.me/ Let's Talk Fort Worth. That's paypal.me/ Let's Talk Fort Worth. Okay, y'all, Election Day is May 6th. We all got to do the right thing. If you miss the opportunity for your voice to be heard, then you cannot complain about the things that are going on downtown. Also, again, Adrian Smith is running for mayor. Support his campaign with your time, with your dollars if you can, and most of all, with your vote. That's what we need you to do. All right, y'all, until next week, this very same time, good night.